Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the Mercosur deal with the European Union, a trade agreement. Now Mercosur, in case you don't know, is a trade bloc of Latin American countries like Argentina, Chile, Peru, Brazil, others. I can't remember exactly which ones are in it, as in for Mercado, as in market, Sur, as in South. Okay, so market for South America. It's a little bit like the Latin American answer to the European Union, although methinks they don't have a parliament, they don't have a common currency, they don't have a Supreme Court, they don't have free movement of people, as in if you're a citizen of Uruguay, you can go to Bolivia, have the right to live and work there, that kind of stuff. And maybe that come in. So far as I know, not many people are suggesting it. So it's more of a trade block. I mean, the European Union was European Economic Community pretend it was all about trade, but that was a good thing. But then turned it into a political entity. Oh well, to have free trade, we have to have a parliament, we have to have a court, and blah blah blah. We can have free trade with all sorts of countries, and just join them or unite anyway. So that aside, this provoked a big backlash. Now, I don't have an opinion whether this Mercosur deal is a good thing or bad thing, because these are thousands of pages long, these documents, and it goes into all sorts of technical detail. And as someone who doesn't know much about commerce, certainly about agriculture, it's really just beyond me. The incomprehensibility of it is plain to me. I don't have the lexus, I really don't have the cognitive faculties to understand these things. But there have been large-scale demonstrations, particularly by farmers in France, other EU member states. The Republic of Ireland, many people in my country, we are against it, particularly farmers. I think because a lot of it is about to do with what's going to be imported in huge amounts from these South American countries, soybeans, beef, and of course in Ireland we produce an awful lot of beef because it's very verdant. Okay, the lowing herds of cattle being a standard motif of Irish poetry in ancient times, of fowl, of sugar, and so forth. Now it's cheaper to produce in South America, partly because wages are much lower and they're different standards, laxer, so they don't have to apply the same animal welfare standards or environmental protection standards, and therefore that lowers their costs, and so it's unfair trade. So okay, and is it really going to be healthy, the food that's being imported? So it'll put a lot of farmers in Ireland out of business and so on. Okay, so because they can produce things much more cheaply than people can in the European Union. Now, although Northern Ireland is in the United Kingdom, for economic purposes, it still counts as part of the European Union. So I'm not sure. I wonder if this deal applies to Northern Ireland as well, because that was the thing. How does Northern Ireland stay in the United Kingdom yet not have a hard border with the Republic? As in, stop, show me what's in your car, what's in your truck, inspect every item, tick things off. Do you have, it has to be in conformity with the United Kingdom's regulations. Likewise, people driving from the north into the south, have we stopped and searched, are all your goods in consonance with European Union regulations? So then the border is the Irish Sea, but the DUP, they couldn't have their cake and eat it. They wanted their Brexit and they wanted an open border. Well, I mean, you can't have both. You've got to square the circle. Anyway, so a lot of family farms will be going out of business in Hungary and Austria and Poland and so on. A lot of people are very much opposed. So many people said that they should be voted down. So major demonstrations, people say it means that the Amazon is going to be largely chopped down. It's going to wreck the ecosystems in South America because they're going to try and increase beef production. And that's by, slash and burn, not raising on the pampas of Argentina, is going to exacerbate greenhouse gas emissions, is going to really completely trash the European Union climate goals. So just to get cheaper food, when our food is so cheap anyway, when obesity is a problem, not malnutrition, we're going to be ruining the planet. So it's going to be breaking the European Union's own laws about climate. And so they'll do this again and again, just because, big supermarkets want to make a bigger profit. So it's going to wreck biodiversity. Maybe more species will go extinct. Okay, it's going to use pesticides, which are a crime in the European Union, some of these pesticides, because they're so harmful. Friends of the Earth, Greenpeace and so on, lots of non-governmental organizations and environmental charities are against this. Say it's wrecking the planet. Okay, so it's not, this food is not going to be sufficiently healthy or safe. There will not be the workers won't have fair conditions in South America, will be aggravating that situation, and so on. So it should only be allowed if Mercosur has to rise to the standard of the European Union, and that would create a level playing field. So that's why there's such a huge public backlash. All the negotiations were in secret. People think it was anti-democratic. There wasn't public consultation. There's a complete lack of transparency. So it's all about lining the pockets of CEOs, is the fat cats of the corporations. They're going to do well, and it's going to ruin small farmers. We say farmerette in Ireland in the 90s. There's a woman who's a farmer. So is that demeaning, and so on? Okay, so it's a very contentious deal. So is it going to happen or not? And so that's the thing, is maybe it's to the benefit of some European Union countries which don't produce many of these feeds of foods like soybeans or beef or whatever. I don't know enough about agriculture to just name one or name a few. And so that's the thing about the EU, is it's got 27 member states. And this might be to the advantage of Germany or Sweden, just making it up. I don't know, is to their advantage or disadvantage. But what if it's bad for us in Southern Ireland? What if it's terrible for Hungary or something like that? So it's for the whole European Union. And then you can't block it. And that's the thing about Brexit, is that the thing can be suitable for the United Kingdom, even if it would have been bad for another country in the EU, not the United Kingdom's in the EU anymore, like Finland or Lithuania. Do you see what I mean? So what this country produces, we'll have to allow in more of these goods. Well, that's fine, because we don't produce them anyway. You know, they will have to allow us to sell more Scotch whiskey or something, which is great in wherever that country, because they don't produce whiskey anyway. So it's not putting any of their local businesses out of business, and so on. But this will make a lot of farmers go to the wall. It'll be bad for the environment. It'll be bad for public health, and. So you can see that's why Brexit is advantageous. Now, there are disadvantages to Brexit. OK, I'm a passionate Brexiteer, but of course, I've got reservations about it. No change of this scale could be entirely positive. Has it made the United Kingdom's economy slow down? It has. Now, I mean, I've never studied economics, but there was an economic consensus beforehand. All the expert economists, well, a great majority of them were saying, is going to make the economy worse? How much worse is a moot point? Are you willing to pay the price? Yeah, I am. If I make slightly less money, it has hurt my finances. Okay, I'm willing to pay the price. Others are not. So they were remainers. And that's it. If it made the economy, you know, UK economy 10% smaller, I would accept that. 50%, that would be too much. And Republic of Ireland, you know, is very popular being in the European Union. Like about 80% of us want to be in it. I'm one of the sort of 10% and what's out, about 10% neutral. So leaving is not very practical. But I do sometimes think, in the Irish Republic, we're an EU member state. Okay, that is the situation. It's impossible to change in the foreseeable future. Have to learn to live with it, make the best of it. And actually, the European Union, to function better, needs deeper integration, ironically. That, you know, one member state can thwart this, can veto sanctions or whatever. And why have 27 embassies in Washington, D.C.? You just have one. Think of the huge saving to speak with one voice, rather than have 27 different foreign policies herding cats. All right. Thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.